The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome to another Mission Minded. Here you can hear the show at least 5 days a week right here on TKR, 10 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, the Tony Curry Radio Podcast. It's Tony Curry with the K-K-U-R-R-E. He's Michael Coleman with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. Michael, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Another day in the food banking world. But, man, part of my favorite time of the week is to be able to sit down with you and talk about things that really matter.
And of course, a brand new show. Yes, and another great show we're going to be doing called Bite by Bite. That's going to be specifically about the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We'll be doing that a little bit later on this week as well, so you'll be looking for that. And a brand new Tony Curry YouTube channel is going to be coming up, so you can see Michael and I both decided last week that we have faces for television. We need to be seen, not just heard. We know we have great diaphragms and great vocals, but these faces look good here, so we need to be seen as well. So we'll have a YouTube channel.
We took a two-person poll and came up with those statistics.
Exactly. All right, so this week on Mission Minded, something we actually got into a little bit about a month ago, and by the way, your email questions are always welcome, info@tonycurryradio.net, about AI. You know, there was a movie called AI, I think that came out about 4 or 5 years ago. It did horribly in the movie theaters, and probably a lot of people going back and looking at that movie, seeing if it get prophesized, anything that we're actually going through now, because now all of a sudden we have AI all over the place, and it's up in Washington, D.C., and we've got Congress and the Senate talking about it and everything else. Do you remember the movie Jurassic Park?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember the scene where Malcolm was in the car with the woman played by Laura Dern, and Malcolm says, God creates dinosaur, God destroys dinosaur, God creates man destroys dinosaur, man creates dinosaur. Then she says, yeah. Dinosaur eats man, women inherit the earth. when it comes to AI, I think it's important that we realize that despite the fact that a lot of people think it's taking a lot of jobs, and perhaps it will be certainly from a Hollywood standpoint, that it only exists because of what? Because of us. It gets information from the internet that we have created. So we're creating this monster that is actually taking jobs. And really, we started talking about this back in the late 60s, early 70s. We thought that by creating these computers and these giant computer machines to build cars, that it was going to be taking away a lot of jobs. And how did that work out? You still have to have the mechanics, and you have to have the computer animation and the computer, whatever you want to call it, to create these things. So what do you foresee before you talk about AI and how pivotal and how important it is? It could be in the business place, but what's your initial thoughts on what you're hearing, and why is it coming up so quickly? Because all of a sudden it is just taking over the news cycle.
It's really amazing. And so I'm not somebody that has to stand in line and get the latest tech. You know, I'm not that person. But I will admit to jumping on the AI pretty early, just to dabble my toe in the water, just to get a perspective of what it's about. And it is really amazing at what you can get. And the idea that you can just type in an animal and a background and all this, and AI can just create that photo that, you know, people can't tell that it's computer generated. And now it's getting to where, I mean, it's really kind of scary stuff, because now they're talking about they can get any image. They can replicate your voice after only just a few seconds of listening to it. So if you had left your voice on a voicemail, for instance, they could take that, replicate your voice. And so it's just like anything else, though. The internet in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It all depends on how you use it. So the internet has made us incredibly more productive. It's helped connect with families. I remember before the internet, I was in West Germany, and my granddaughter never got to see, I mean, my daughter never got to see her grandparents. Now today, you zoom across the world, and you constantly can stay in touch. And so that's where it can be a really good thing. But then you also have people who use it for nefarious reasons. AI is going to be the exact same thing. It's going to be incredibly productive and helpful in so many circumstances. But those who are always looking to take advantage and use something in a bad way, will also manipulate it that way.
It's so unfortunate because I can make the argument with, like, say, chocolate cake or alcohol. A little bit is good. It really is. They tell us to drink a glass of wine every night for our heart, right? And a little chocolate cake makes us feel good about ourselves. It releases serotonin and these wonderful things. But if you're eating chocolate cake six times a day or you're drinking a 12-pack every night, you're probably going to become an alcoholic. And again, AI is one of these situations where, from a supplementary standpoint, to explain to people how you used AI in your recent rebranding of course, the Montgomery Food Bank becoming the heart of Alabama Food Bank.
Yeah, so we partnered with this local marketing firm here, and they were doing a fantastic job. And one of the things they do is, in a rebrand, is they help you think about what they call a MAP, which is a marketing action plan. And so it was really a detailed process, but very, very thorough. And one of the things they recommended was, they saw an opportunity. They said, why don't you produce a children's book that has to do with food banking, and you can help teach parents who bring their kids up. You can distribute that out. And he even came up with a name for it. It was Howard Helps Feed the Hungry. So it's kind of alliteration. So while he's talking, I open up ChatGPT, which is the AI.
Uh-huh.
And I said, create children's book for food banking, Howard, and I didn't say Howard Helps Feed, Howard Helps the Hungry. And I mean, in less than a minute, it had written an entire children's book. And I didn't tell anybody that AI had written it. I just printed it out and sent it out to my directors. And I said, hey, here's a children's book written about, you know, what do you think? And they're like, oh, this is great. So, I mean, it fit exactly what we need. Now, of course, we'll go in and we'll tweak it and we'll play with it a little bit. But if you imagine sitting down and having to think about a children's book and just the scenario and the names and all that, just getting started oftentimes is what's so difficult. And I turned around and typed that in and boom, it was 95% completed. And this is where AI can be so just extraordinarily helpful, to be able to help you overcome and just boom, it's produced. You tweak it, you get it like you want, and then it's your product. And it's just amazing when you think about that we have the technology that can do those kind of things.
I think the word scary comes to mind for a lot of people, and I can follow that up with the word good, because in this particular case, it's scary good. I know there was recently an art exhibit up in New York City that people were like, wow, this is the greatest art exhibit I've ever seen. Every piece of art in that exhibit was made by AI. They basically said, picture of a woman on a horse going through a stream, and put Picasso in there and put a couple of different.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it's creating this artwork that people actually wanted to buy, which was kind of crazy. And it kind of goes back to, and I guess at a different level, NFTs, which I never really understood. Because you're owning something that really isn't human, but there's a price on that as well. And I think the other thing is interesting, and I know that this was done, I forget the two artists, that someone took two different songs and two different artists and actually created an AI piece of music that actually went viral and sold over 1 million copies on iTunes. And right. it wasn't even, I think it was Kenny Chesney and someone else, I forget who it was, but it wasn't actually a song. What does that say about our own creativity? First of all, that we've created something so strong like the internet that we can create these fake or artificial pieces of art or performances, or in this particular case, a book. And what does that say about what we need to do from a creative standpoint to ensure that it doesn't take our jobs?
Yeah. So then you get into all these kind of, how much should the government regulate AI? You know, and we get very sensitive about government regulation. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary, but there's always the debate of, where's that line drawn? You know, what's an appropriate line to make sure that we don't go too far off, but also that it doesn't impede our freedom as citizens to use it like we want to. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism over these last few years. And a lot, it seems like maybe I'm just sensitive to it because I've grown so tired of the Marvel movie. I mean, every time you turn around, there's five Marvel movies, or there's another Star Wars, or another type Lord of the Rings kind of thing. And it's just like Hollywood is bankrupt of ideas. That's what it feels mm-hmm. like. You just keep going back to the well. I mean, they're on Spider-Man 48. You know, I can't keep up with all of it. But I've totally lost interest in movies, and it just makes you feel like they're out of ideas. And so you wonder, relying on AI, you know, what's Hollywood's going to be role? Because if they can generate it and they can generate people and actually act out the scenes and do everything, can they create a digital AI created movie or play or whatever and actually eliminate Hollywood from that? And
it's only a matter of time before someone does
it. You don't know how far it can go.
And I doubt, and I know that the recent Indiana Jones movie actually used AI for a younger Harrison Ford. They didn't use it in order to make Harrison Ford look younger than his 80 or 81 years. They did it to show what Harrison Ford would have looked like in 1944 for sake of the movie. And Harrison even said, listen, I would not be in a movie where they're going to use AI on me because I am who I am. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because for the most part, AI, when you were listening to Mission Minded here, keep your mind, your mission, your mind, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central Time, right here on the TKR app, both Android and Apple, just search TKR, those three letters, all you need, and you'll see the flame of guitar, tap on it. You can listen to the show whenever you want, wherever you get your podcast. And also Bite by Bite, brand new show to cover the heart of Alabama food bank, is going to be coming out again here in the next few days. When we talk about AI, I think for the most part we're talking about creative things, things that we can't create. You mentioned the book, where you're talking about a movie thing, or maybe recreating someone's voice, more of a creative. From a logistical standpoint, do you see the attributes of an AI type of society that we're going to be living in? Logistically speaking, how can it be helpful for a person like the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because we just partnered with a software company. I don't know that anybody in Montgomery is doing this, and it is. It's very expensive. It's an investment with this company, but it's set up to be able to help you have better contact with the people you're trying to reach out to. And one of the challenges is, when you have a lot of donors, if you're trying to reach out to donors to really genuinely express how appreciative you are for their support, but there's just not enough time in the day. So this AI, the way it is now, it's tied into our database. And what it does, it feeds me every morning. I come in and it's got, It picks out of the database who needs to be contacted, and then it generates a first draft email, does the whole email. So I don't even have to sit there and go, oh, where do I start with this person? It has the entire hit, their giving record, all that we have notes on. And then it says, here's the introductory email, and I can click and edit it. I can click and put a quick video in there. Or I can say, skip this person for now, because I may have plans to contact them in a different way. And it just skips and it loads up the next one. And it's just constantly feeding. At any time that I have free time, I can go in there, but I don't have to go searching for it. It's just feeding it right there. And I mean, the amount of hours and the data that it puts right in front of my face is so incredibly helpful. But AI's not, is not communicating. It's just helping me begin the process. Because like I said, lots of times you see people with writer's block. It's like, I can't get my idea started. You know, they tell you all the time, well, just sit down and just start writing anything that comes to mind. You can organize it later. AI is doing all that entry level for you, because look, I taught some at the college level, did some adjunct work. And one of the difficult things is when you're grading papers or you're editing something, man, it's so much easier to edit papers and do things when somebody's already creating something for you. But when you have to, the mental energy that's required to start something from scratch is just wears on you after a while. At least for me, it does.
It sounds like sounds like AI is going to be my new thesaurus.
I mean, really, it is. There's nothing I won't type into AI now. And like I said, and I'll give you, I could just come up, and even though it's just been such a short time, one of the things when you and I were talking about, hey, what's going to be our name for our food bank? And I went into AI and I said, what is a good name for food banking podcast, or a podcast about food banking? And it spit out 15 names. Now, I didn't like all of them, but I picked about five of those, that I think I sent you and said, hey, I kind of like these the most. If I had to sit there, I couldn't have generated five names on my own that were creative at all, just because that's not who I am. So it's like I have a creative personal assistant that's given me what I need.
And I think for people that think that all of a sudden we're going to become more dumb or more stupid because it's going to be taking our creative juices away from us, I think is, and again, from a supplementary standpoint, you get writer's block, or you need an idea, or you need something on a whim. Now, you need a report in your senior year at Boston College by tomorrow night.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways we can go here. And obviously, it, depending on what you put into a ChatGPT, you're going to be getting two different types of papers. So it's not like you're selling. And we've been doing that, by the way, since the 70s, too. If you wanted to buy yourself a senior report, you could get that. Do you, as a businessman, do you foresee a business, and if you do, what type of business that would forbid AI technology?
You know, I think probably where you're going to get to be really uncomfortable is when it does starts messing with human genetics. You start getting into that, you start getting into some murky areas. You remember the rage was all about when we cloned the sheep, and they started wanting to clone everything, and then they started talking about human cloning. And you know, you would hear these reports of things coming out of the lab and all these attempts, and people got real uncomfortable about human cloning because, you know, what is the spiritual ramifications of that? What is it, you know, are you going to, if you can clone people, you know, people who come from a spiritual background, I remember them saying, you know, if you can create something like that, some people are going to want to use them for spare parts. Like,
hey, the Nazis were trying to do it back in the 30s and 40s.
Exactly. And so, you know, you're going to get something that you're just going to grow in a test tube to have another ear, or have another liver, or have another something. You just get into all sorts of these ethical things. And right now with AI, I just saw this the other day. Somebody said, hey, write me a code that, like right now, that there was a password that was blocking. And they said, write me a code that overcomes the password to this firewall or whatever. And it wrote a code. Now, whether it worked or not, it didn't go into detail, but it's going to affect security issues. You've got personal information that's going to come out. And again, so just like it is with technology today, you come out with a virus or you come out with a way to break through, capture somebody, they're going to come up with a defense for it. And it's just, they're just playing leapfrog, trying to stay ahead of the bad guys. And I think that's going to probably stay the same, even with AI.
I, for one, I think the world would be a better place if we could clone Michael Coleman at least three or four times. If you could you imagine what your wife would say if three you came walking in the door Friday night at 5 o'clock?
She don't even want the one she's got now. I can't imagine there being three.
Michael Coleman is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We also do a show called Bite by Bite, which is expressly and specifically about the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. In our next show, we're going to be talking about the challenges in food banking and the logistics that go along with that. The other thing about AI I think is really interesting, and that is the truth. We know that if you ask a specific question about AI, and it's pretty, and I know through ChatGPT, because I've also messed with that, sometimes if they don't have the answer, they'll throw you off by throwing something totally off the like, you know, did you know pickles are blue? I mean, they will throw you off big time just to joke with you a little bit, which I think is funny, and Siri does that too. But when you're talking about trying to find new employees, or you are trying to find the truth about maybe something that is considered conspiratorial, what's your thoughts on AI being used for those types of things? Because just because you stick it in AI doesn't mean it's true.
It's true. And, you know, as I thought about it, there are limits on, we were talking about that just a second ago. There are limits. Somebody put in, how do you build a bomb?
Yep.
And it says, sorry, we can't help you with that. So those constraints have been put in for AI for now. But if somebody knows how to go in there and remove those constraints, then certainly there's enough information out there on the internet that it could pull that will tell you how to build a bomb, or could intentionally mislead somebody. Like AI doesn't have a moral compass. And so if it was programmed to drive to provide false information, then it certainly would be capable of doing that. And so, it all depends on kind of the input, how it's set up. And you'd like to think, again, people aren't going to go down that road, but
if there's money attached to it, there will be.
Yeah, I'm very excited, but I'm also very concerned. I mean, the average person like me, I was going to mention that I read this article, really fascinating points. But one of the things, because people get so scared of tech, and again, I'm not a techno geek, and I do all the office suite stuff. I can do all those kind of things. But it said one of the things that I think is so great about AI is it said you can just treat it like it's a person. Like I mentioned earlier, like an assistant. Mm-mm. Like you can talk to it in conversational. You don't have to type in certain formulas or certain ways. It is, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think would be a good idea for this? So it's almost like you have an assistant at your side. I've even put in I was writing an article about something, and I was trying to distinguish between maybe it was a manager and a supervisor, just trying to get some fine tune. And I said, explain the difference. And again, just within a second, it spits out 12 different, characteristics of each. Managers do this, supervisors do that. Mm-hmm. Just all the things. I equated a little bit to how we used to, when we were traveling, we used to have to pull out roadmaps.
Oh yeah.
And follow the roadmaps.
While we were driving.
Yeah. While you're driving, you got maps poured out all over. And now we just have a GPS. I kind of look at it as this evolutionary change to where now we can go in and get all this research done, and it's at the tip of our fingers.
You know, it's something that that we always said, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. And now you can't even believe that anymore. I mean, we know the virility of Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Donald Trump having their lips move, and we see this video and we're like, oh my, I just saw him say it. And it wasn't him. And yeah. And I'll go back to something else we described, where the woman actually had her daughter call her one night and said that she's been abducted and she's been taken hostage. And it was not her, but it was her voice, because they found enough stuff on her Instagram post. Two guys said that, and she was down in the basement of their home. She was safe and sound, but they said, we need $1 million or else your daughter. And she didn't even know her daughter was home. So
that's the kind of stuff that freaks people out, because it can mimic both in voice and all that. And you get somebody who's not tech savvy, who doesn't know it's possible. They talk about that's a big grandparent scam right now. And they're not going to have the ability, if they hear their grandchild's voice, yep, they're not going to have any idea whether that's computer generated. If they think their life's on the line and they've got $50,000, you betcha that they'll do it for the life of their grandchild.
I actually did a show with Kip Kiefer, who I'm going to be doing a TV show with a little bit later on this fall, not to selfishly promote, but I will. And we actually did a Kiefer and Curry show where I was actually talking to ChatGPT and did not know it. I was speaking with him. I threw a question out right off the top. It answered me. It was a weird answer. And I was like, what's up with you, Kip? And it sounded like a little younger Kip, but it was his voice. And it's scary how true it is. The other thing, and we'll let it fly here, is, again, supplementary, wonderful stuff. But when you're talking about the dark web and you're talking about a particular program that will create any, if we're creating new songs and creating new art, I know there was a story through the New York Post about how the porn industry has taken this on, because they no longer have to have actors and actresses. And of course, I think that's wonderful that we don't have to have people working in the porn industry, but is it really that good when you could say, I want a woman that looks like this and a man like this to create a video? It's going to get super ugly, and it normally does. We usually let the cat out of the bag before we can get it back in.
One of my favorite comedians, and he's a clean comedian, is Nate Bargatze. Mm-hmm. And really funny dude. And I was listening to his podcast, Nate Land. And on this podcast, they were demonstrating this ChatGPT. And so Aaron Weber, who's a fellow comedian on the show, goes in. He's kind of the technical guy. And so he goes in on his laptop and he says, create a a joke for stand up in the voice, not literal voice, but in the same rhythm as Nate Bargatze. And so it spits it out, and he read it online. And I mean, the joke wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't that the joke was so funny, but what was so amazing was all they said is in the rhythm of Nate Bargatze.
Wow.
And it followed, it had the breaks in it that followed his speech style. And he's still, I mean, he's had several specials now, but you would think, I mean, it's not like it's Clint Eastwood where you've got, you know, 5 decades of work. Yeah. And it was able to come up with a joke. You could question how funny the joke was, but it was in his style clearly that when he read it out, you're like, yeah, that's how Nate Bargatze tells a joke. And that's already where they are. And I think they're way ahead of that. But they're not releasing everything it can do right now because I think it would be so overwhelming. I think they released a little bit. Let us digest this. Let us wrap our mind around a little bit. And now we feel like we can take a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more.
And we say that we wouldn't go see a computer sitting on stage at the Comedy Club Stardome, but we will go see Jeff Dunham, who does all of his jokes through these. You're right. I mean, right, I watched one of his specials the other night, and it's hilarious. I think he's so talented. I'm sitting there going, we're laughing at this Muppet, this dummy, but we know it's coming from Jeff. But we'd also be knowing those jokes had to be written somewhere in order for them to come out of a computer sitting up on stage. It may be interesting to see how many people would show up for something like that.
Yeah,
it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper. He is Michael Coleman, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. This is Mission Minded. Keep your mind your mission, your mind. 10 o'clock Central Time every Monday through Friday here, at least 5 days a week. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast. We'll do it again next week, my friend.
I enjoyed it always. And just this last word on this, I really want to encourage people. Don't be scared of it. Just get on there, play with it. It's easy. And try treating it like an assistant and just let it help you. It can do some things that are amazing. I get the fear, but don't miss the boat because it can really help you in your business and your creativity to advance what you're passionate about. And so just encourage you to get into it and just see where it takes you.
And I'm sure there'll be a subscription rate that comes along with that usage. Because right now you can find it for free, but I'm imagining
that's it's right. It won't be that way forever.
No, it's going to be a little expensive. So there you have it. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you, man.
Enjoyed it, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.